You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I hope that you guys had a fantastic Thanksgiving holiday. I cannot believe that we are entering into the last month of 2025, the last month of this year. I don't know about you guys, but this year for me has been, I don't want to say a whirlwind, but it's definitely been a transition period for me. You guys know I had a new baby. So my family transitioning with the new addition, starting law school, transitioning to the demands of that, in addition to family and business and all of the things, trying to do so with a level of good stewardship, a focus on the Lord, and just really taking everything that He's called me to do seriously. I haven't gotten it right for sure all the time, but I wake up every day committed to doing right by what the Lord has called me to do. And in that, is this transition has been pretty difficult for me. I'm grateful of the outcome. I'm doing well in school. My family is happy and healthy and whole. But I do see some areas of improvement for myself. And I'm trying to navigate even my own things coming to the surface of feeling like I should be doing this or should be doing that. All of the stuff, the internal noise that I deal with has definitely been at the forefront as of late in managing all of these transitions. But nevertheless, even when I feel unsteady, my foundation is strong in the Lord. And as we enter into this last month of the year, I want to say thank you guys first for the ways in which you have supported this podcast, the ways in which you supported me through so many transitions. I mean, January marks 9 years of this podcast, you guys. 9 entire years of me showing up here and giving you what the Lord has given me every single week. Just me. We have our guests and we have part two with our conversation with Tiffany today. But for the most part, just me coming here and leaving it all on a microphone. And I count it a great honor and a privilege to show up here because I consider this show ministry and my duty for the kingdom of God. And I do my best to always show up here with a pure heart, to be honest, to communicate what the Lord has given me to communicate in the best way that I know how. So it just blows my mind that it's been going on 9 years, and I'll probably get emotional on our first episode of the new year that marks our anniversary. But nevertheless, thank you guys so much for an amazing 2025. We've had series on here, series within series, so many different things that we have discussed this year on this show. And so I thank you guys so much for allowing me into your hearts, into your ears, into your lives, however you choose to consume this podcast. I thank you for being here whenever you guys share it on social media and tag me in it. Whether you tag me or not, I appreciate it. Every time you send the link to somebody in the group chat, I genuinely appreciate it. We are taking a break in December. We've been doing this for the last couple of years where I take December off and I'll post some of the best episodes that we've had this year so far. And usually I will take December to rest and recalibrate and seek God on what He has for this show specifically in the new year. And I plan to do the same thing. I have finals. And then once my finals are over, I plan to sit with the Lord and do some batch recording because there are a lot of things that I want to do, even with our series that we have started, where we're trying to take this Bible on Business series and make it practical. There are a lot of video elements that I want to do where I want to walk you guys through some back end things that you could be doing in your business. And there's some visual elements that I need to add to be as impactful and thorough as I like to be. I just simply don't have the time to do it at this moment, but I do want to record that and have it ready for you in the new year. So we're going to definitely pick up because we had our first episode about like clearing out the noise and being sober. Then we talked about the fundamentals, and I got a lot of message from you guys about going into more detail about each element of business we discussed. And that's where I'm like, oh no, I got to show you some back end things. So once my finals are over, my plan is to pick that up and start recording that with the visual elements. And then you'll see that on my YouTube channel in addition to the podcast. And so I'm excited about how we're going to take the teaching element of this podcast a step further. Y'all know me, you know, I have no interest in conforming to the way in which podcasting has become. I don't want to sit down and talk about salacious stories, Christian gossip, or talk to the same people about the same stuff. I want to allow this to continue to be a platform where we teach you how to make God the CEO of your business and what that actually looks like practically, so that you can be able to build successful kingdom businesses. And so I'm excited about that and what is to come with this show. But as of now, we're going to take a break for the month of December. I pray that you guys enjoy the rest of your 2025. I love you. I am praying for you, and I'm excited to see you in the new year. So without further ado, here's part two of my interview with my girl, Pastor Tiffany Soa. You said that when you moved to North Carolina, you said how things moved really quickly and how the Lord moved you in 30 days.
Yeah.
How did that move so fast?
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of preparation. So he was preparing me. So I did everything that I needed to do to transition in ministry. I had moved from one ministry to another ministry. So that was set. I had gone and taken trips to look for housing, checked out both Durham and Raleigh, two totally different vibes. I settled on Raleigh, looked at apartments, went there to make sure like I could live, work, get around, be comfortable for a couple weeks, traveled in and out of the airport, like a whole bunch of different things the Lord had me to do. So there was a lot of preparation, but it was very quiet. And it was very fragmented and disjointed. Like the Lord would tell me to like do one thing, and then that would be it, right? Started getting in some networking groups, but no real business opportunities came out of the networking groups. It was just like to build, you know, like a some semblance of like a community there. What else? I financially, you know, saving, preparing my home. I was a homeowner and I had an investment property. I had brick and mortar businesses in Philly. So transitioning all of that, making accommodations for my car. So it was just like all of this like practical preparation that was happening behind the scenes. So when the Lord said go, we were ready. And one of the things that I learned from that is that like you really, when you are living a life that is truly dependent on the Lord, you have to do what he says to do when he says to do it, especially when it doesn't make sense. Because and again, in the moments, it was a lot of fragmented things. But when he said go, I had everything in place and I was literally able to move within 30 days.
How did you hesitate? Let me ask you that. Did you hesitate on this decision? Because I find when, especially when I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs and just people who are looking to have that level of dependency, what often kills it is this hesitation. It's like, I want to be dependent on the Lord, but I'm not willing to just fully jump off the roof. And so can you talk a bit about if there was some hesitation when making these transitions? And if so, how did you overcome it?
Yeah, I think in the beginning, there was a lot of hesitation. I had been in a space when the Lord told me in June of 2020 that I was going to relocate. I had just entered into a time of sabbatical. I had never taken a sabbatical in the 10 years that I had been with my ministry. So I had just taken a sabbatical, and it was literally like the Lord had all of these things that he wanted to tell me that he was like holding up. And the minute like my sabbatical started on June 1st, the Lord told me on June 5th that I was moving. So it was literally like the floodgates of instruction just opened up. And from there, you know, he started giving, let me not say instruction, the floodgate of his vision and plan opened up, right? Because much like the Lord, he gives the vision and plan. And then you'd be like, okay, so what's next?
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Mm-hmm. Are you sure that you said can you hear me? Okay, all right, well, I guess I'll just wait. And that's what I did. And then he gave the next instruction fragmented, but I did it and so forth and so on. So in the beginning, I was very nervous. I was very, very nervous, but I had been crying out to the Lord for this. Like, one of the things that I always tell people when people ask me this or kind of say this about me is like, you're the type of person that like really moves with the Lord. Like, how are you just able to move with the Lord? And it's because I spend so much time, first of all, in his face. I'm talking to God all day long about everything. I just asked the Lord to give me strategy on making a pitch deck earlier, like real random. Like, I need you, like, speak now. I'm not even working on it, but it just came to my mind. Give me a strategy, please. Right. So what happens, what I have experienced in my relationship with the Lord is that because I'm talking to him all day long, I'm seeking his face, so forth and so on, that, and I'm doing the little steps. Right. And it's the little things that can trip us up. It's not the big thing. Right. When the Lord was like, oh, you're relocating. I was like, OK, yes, finally, I want to move. Where am I going? Right.
Yeah.
And then he said nothing. And I was like, no, wait a minute. Right. That's where the tripping up can happen. Right. And the waiting and the time and the silence and all of those things. So the Lord, you know, didn't say much at first. And, you know, I'm seeking counsel and I went to look at a couple. It was a whole thing. This, because, again, this was almost a full year. I moved May 31st. It was Memorial Day weekend of that year. But remember, the Lord gave me the word June 5th of 2020. So a year almost to the day. So there was moments of hesitation. I remember my first trip to North Carolina. I stayed in Raleigh. I was driving back to Raleigh from Durham when I heard the Lord ask me, are you sure this is what you want? And I felt this overwhelming sense of like reliance on the Lord. And just like, I felt so childlike, like, I want whatever you want. And I really, really mean that. And we got to be careful because that whatever, it comes with whatever, right?
Yeah.
But I told the Lord, I'm like, I want whatever you want. I'm down for whatever you say. Whatever you say, my answer is yes. Yes, this is what I want because this is what you want. And I went back and it was silent. And then I did a couple things and it was silent. So yeah, there were moments of hesitation. But when the Lord said go, it was the next. What else would have happened next besides me moving to North Carolina? After all of that preparation, all of that conversation, all of this time with the Lord, it's the next thing that I expected to happen was that I would relocate. So when he said go, I was ready, but I was nervous. I cried the whole way there, like in worship and gratitude. I remember my last night sleeping on the floor because I had to send my things ahead of me. Oh, and just even now, just remembering, like, I felt so like childlike, so just extremely dependent on the Lord, but also so very hopeful. A little bit of nervousness that I was once again stepping away from all I knew and all that was comfortable. But the thing about me is like, you know, again, I'm locked in with the Lord. And when he says go, I'm going, even if there is trepidation, even if there is a little bit of nervousness and all of that. So yeah, a little bit of hesitation, but not enough to stop me.
I love that you said that because I want people to understand that, because I think sometimes what will happen is we will feel that hesitancy and that doubt and all of our human emotions will come up, and then we'll then lean into that so much to where we don't be obedient. We stop going to the Lord. We allow practicality to take over. The enemy successfully tempts us into self-reliance, as opposed to recognizing that I'm nervous. This is scary. It's supposed to be because I'm still human. However, I'm going to trust the Lord anyway. And when this works out, it will be something else to use to fuel the next decision. And just operating that way. I mean, something that I always go back to whenever the Lord gives me an instruction is there's never been a time that the Lord's told me to do something and it did not work out. And even even if I didn't have my own track record of my life, all I have to do was open the word. And there are plenty of accounts.
Yeah.
So my faith just continues to be built every single time I could put another check on a scoreboard, another point on a scoreboard for the Lord. So for those of you who are listening, I would challenge you to even take a second to think about every single time that the Lord has moved in your life and use that as motivation and use that to speak back to your flesh. Because that the thing about being childlike is that children are also vulnerable. So while it fuels your dependency on the Lord, because my kids can't do but so much for themselves, so they have to be dependent on me, but they're still vulnerable. So a stranger could still maybe come and tell my two-year-old, hey, here's some candy to try to lure mm-hmm. him over there. But and because he's vulnerable, you know, we'll teach him don't talk to strangers, but because he's vulnerable, he's likely to be tempted that way. So we have like this strength in the childlike aspect to be dependent on the Lord, but we're also pray for the enemy in that season. And I think that it's important to guard ourselves against our humanity and also the temptations of the enemy. And I think that your story is a great representation of a part of doing that is to just do the thing, just trust God and risk looking crazy, feeling dumb, risk all of the things that you may fear. And I think, like you said, like you were like, after all of this, all I can do is move to North Carolina.
Yeah, like, what else would I be doing besides the next thing?
And that is a way, too, in my opinion, to really tame our flesh. Because when we face the thing that we're actually afraid of, we take away a lot of the power. So if I'm really afraid of having to move back home, if I sit with the, so what if I do, though?
Yeah.
If I do have to move back home to my parents' house.
Yep.
Okay. And then I'll figure it out from there.
Yeah.
Well, what if my business fails and or what I think has failed and I'm not making any money? Then I'll just figure that out then, too, with the Lord.
Yep.
And to me, just really sitting in that robs a lot of the enemy, robs the enemy of that power that he likes to exercise over us. So I'm glad that you talked about feeling nervous. And also I went, though, because.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, what else am I going to be able to do? So I want to talk about after you got to North Carolina, you talked about how you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And this was a time, as you said.
Yeah.
And then now here comes 2023. Everything just gets blown up again. What happened? What happened with the business?
As Black women, we have the cards stacked against us, but we know that God will never give us more than we can handle. That's exactly what Akambi Ashiata experienced. Akambi grew up in Lagos, Nigeria. Her father died before she was born, leaving her mother to raise 6 children alone in a 1-room home. Food was scarce, and Akambi often went to bed hungry. Now, at 27 years old, Akambi continues her family's tradition of farming tomatoes. Getting the money to grow her business was a challenge, but Akambi never gave up. Then, Heifer International stepped in. Heifer International is a global nonprofit that empowers women farmers and business owners. Through Heifer's Microloan Impact Fund, Akambi can access a fair loan for the first time, instead of the 50% interest rates from loan sharks. She used her microloan to expand her tomato business and support her family. In her words, it feels like a blessing, a miracle, to have enough to provide for my family and dream of a future filled with abundance. It's beyond anything I could have ever imagined. Be the blessing for a woman like Akambi. Fund a loan today at heifer.org/blessed.
Yeah, so we lost our largest contract that we were sitting on at that time. It was a contract with the federal government. We were a subcontractor on it. And, you know, a lot of policies and things that we see changing now in the United States, some of these things started changing in the previous administration, but I'll leave that conversation for another day. So my work really kind of falls under the category of DEI. So when the federal government stopped, when they first stopped COVID money, right? Mm-hmm. That was a big blow to a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. Thankfully, my COVID money was legit. But when they stopped that funding, you know, a lot of people started to suffer. Thankfully, again, I managed that season well and stewarded it well. So we were able to sustain for some time after losing the contract. But it was a violent, like, the words that I'm going to use to describe 2023 into 2024 are probably words that most people are not used to, like, pastors transparently using. But I don't know nothing else but to be real and to be honest, it was violent, like, and abrupt how things just, like, unraveled in business and for me and my husband. You know, lost that contract. And the losing of the contract actually happened slowly. It wasn't all at once. So what happens is we would always work from like September to June to the end of the fiscal year. And then July and August was like a time off. So we had been doing this for years. So at this point, we were 4 years into the cycle. So when the contract ended in June, I was just like, okay, see y'all in a couple months. We're going to enjoy this break. Because at that time, we were serving like 125 businesses on a monthly basis. I was the only strategist on the team, on, you know, within my company or whatever. So when the contract ended, I was like, oh, I need this break in July and August. But then, you know, come August, normally we're re-signing and recommitting for the following year. And I've realized we were getting close to September. And I'm like, wait a minute, I heard nothing. You know, we haven't renewed our contract or anything. So we, I've reached out and it was like, oh, the federal budget, right? Because again, even the budget issues that we're seeing now, this is nothing new. The federal budget had not yet been approved and lawmakers were not at work. So they were like, you know, they're hoping that in October they'll vote, you know, a budget in and then we can restart the work, you know, on the contract because it was federally funded. So I'm like, okay, crap. And I'm like, all right, let me check the numbers. So, you know, I let the team know and I'm like, we're going to kind of scale back a little bit, cut hours a little bit. I didn't want to let anybody go completely, but I'm like, in order to keep everybody, I have to cut your hours back because we're just like the, normally I'm expecting a check at the end of September. Mm-hmm. Right now they're saying that we won't even start work until October, which means I won't get a check until November. So I'm like, you know, in order to keep everybody, I got to, you know, slow it down a little bit. So that was cool. July was fine. August was fine. September is where it got a little bit tricky to the point that I was scheduled to come back to the to Ghana to do some wedding stuff. I was in the middle of planning a wedding as well. So the other thing that had happened was that I had invested a lot financially into traveling back and forth to Ghana, mm-hmm. planning for the wedding, right? Me and my husband are working our behinds off to pay for this wedding and, you know, extra money that would have kind of gone into savings was being spent on other things, right? So, you know, by September, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And in September, I fell behind in my September rent. So for, like for my house. So by that time, I'm like, I've reached out and they're like, we're still waiting on this budget to be formed, you know, to get approved. October comes, reach out. And they're like, yeah, they basically voted for an extension and they're not going to approve the budget until December. It's like December. I can't work with that. That's not going to work for me. Mm-hmm. So at this time, literally now by the time we get to October, I am approaching 2 months behind on my bills, right? So like some things I was paying a little bit, whatever. I won't get into all the details, but basically 2 months behind on my bills. And anybody, you know, you can't really be 2 months behind on bills in the States, right? Mm-hmm. So I you know, was reaching out, negotiating, working, trying to get additional clients and, you know, just doing everything that I could. But I was in Ghana at the time. So I came back in like mid-October. And in mid-October, I surrendered my car, right? So instead of them repossessing it, I just gave it up. Now, that was really hard because this was my dream car, one of my dream cars. The Lord had blessed me to get my dream car twice in that time frame from like 2020 to 2023, you know, fresh off the lot, great deal. I mean, like, I was looking at pictures of my former car today like that. Like, it was such a tangible manifestation of the goodness and faithfulness of God. Like, I treated my car like a porcelain doll. I took such good care of that blessing. Mm-hmm. So it was really hard, but I, you know, was drowning, right? I'm like, okay, I need to figure out something. I need to like try to salvage my credit, try to like salvage a whole bunch of different things. I had already planned. It was already the plan for me to move out of my apartment, sell my car, and relocate to Ghana. The timeline for that was 2024. The Lord said, nah, we're doing this in 2023. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. Because again, going back to when the Lord is moving quickly, when things are happening suddenly and transition is happening suddenly, it can be a lot to process. And I remember in the thick, like at the beginning of it, not even in the thick of it, in September, October of 2023, I remember that I felt like I was being punished. So I literally remember going back and like checking my finances. Was there a time that I didn't tithe? Was there a time that I mishandled something? Did I sin? Like, I'm literally going back. I'm like, did I sin? Like, I'm celibate. I'm not cussing. I'm not out here getting drunk. I was in seminary, right? So like, I'm living not perfect, but like, I'm really probably walking the most upright. This is a word. I'm walking the most upright that I have probably ever walked in my life. And this is hands down the worst financial challenge that I've ever experienced in my life. And I've experienced financial challenges being a business owner. So that was October. By November, again, same thing with the apartment. They were talking about eviction. But let me tell you about the goodness of God and the favor of the Lord, that initially when I was going to like my lenders, for example, student loans, all that type of stuff, I had an SBA loan, like all this type of stuff. When I was going to them, everybody's like, no, 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 you just need to pay your money. And I'm like, well, I ain't got no money to pay y'all. I need to be able to like keep a roof over my head and like food on my table. So I remember in September, I was doing a fast with my former church, and the Lord told me to go back and ask again. And when I went back and asked, everybody's heart had changed. So they're like, listen, if you can do this in this amount of time, we'll basically just let you go, just release you. And I was like, it'll be done, right? So once again, though, I feel like I'm in scramble mode because I didn't get back to the States until mid-October. And I had to be out of my apartment. My car was actually supposed to be in at the beginning of October, but I just basically took it once I got back. And then the apartment, I had to move out the first weekend in November. So I literally, when I landed, I had to hit the ground running, pack up my entire life. I was also moving back to my parents' house. So all of my furniture had to be sold. Everything had to be sold. I had a fully furnished two-bedroom apartment, fully furnished. So I had to sell everything. I reduced my life down to 8 totes and like a couple of suitcases. I remember that I was able to move my entire life going back to Maryland in like a Tahoe or something, like a, you know, one of those really big SUVs. Everything fit perfectly in the car. And I gave up everything. At the time, it felt like I was losing everything. Yeah. But after I healed and all of that, and, you know, we can maybe get more into that. But after I healed and all of those things, I was able to see and change my language. The Lord changed my language. That really what happened was I gave it all up to follow him and to do what he said to do. And this time, it was not nearly as easy as the first time. So that's what happened with business. And, you know, we could talk about recovery, but basically that contract never came back around because the federal government isn't funding it anymore. But, you know, restoration happened and is happening.
It's so funny you say that because I was earlier today recording another podcast episode, and we were in Luke where where you talk about counting the cost. And so I was telling my audience how I was using it in a context of business and how it's relevant for business. However, the context in which Jesus was speaking was he was speaking to his audience, and these people were following him. They were hype about him because of his reputation and all they had seen him do and all of that. And so they were trying to follow him based upon hype and excitement. And he was pretty much telling them that you need to really count the cost of your obedience, because this ain't a decision that you can make off of an emotional high. There's a level of depth. You got to know what obedience is really going to take from you. You got to leave your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your kids, everybody, and deny yourself in order to and pick up your cross and follow me. So if we're not talking about that, like, you know, and so when I was reading that, that's what I'm thinking about as you are telling this story, because we read this, and but we don't feel it because we weren't there. And yeah, we can say that we understand it. Like, God, I will give everything up to follow you until you're really tested in that decision. And so what I'm hearing is that you almost misinterpreted because of how you felt and how anybody will feel in this situation. And so I love the fact that you were open enough to once again let it play out to see what exactly the Lord is doing. And I can't emphasize that enough, because I want people to understand so many of us give up too fast, and we allow ourselves to be, or allow these situations to make our heart cold, to make us turn away from the Lord, to think like, well, this isn't working. So I'm not going to continue to follow God, or I'm going to just step in and do what I feel like I need to do, as opposed to just truly living a life being surrendered to the Lord and letting these things play out. I remember being in a tough place in my business a couple of years ago where the Lord told me to slow down. I don't know if my 2-year-old was born yet or not, but it was around that time. And it was very, very frustrating. And I would like wake up, sit on the end of my bed and like cry, because I didn't even want to open my laptop to what awaited me that day. And it was almost as if I was waiting for the end of the day to come so I could just go back to sleep, because it was I just did not want to deal with all of the hard things that awaited me. And I remember after crying, I will always say, Lord, you're going to have to give me strength, because I chose to follow you. I chose to do this your way. And so as much as this hurts, as much as I feel like I'm hard pressed and I don't see how this is going to work, I am going to choose to get up and just see how this plays. I remember we had to let pretty much everybody go in the business. And one of the my team members I had to let go, I couldn't even be on camera. Like, I was a wreck. And I'm not somebody that is very emotional. And so I was a wreck. I couldn't even speak. And it was hurting me that bad. And I remember afterwards, I just closed my laptop and I took a walk. And I came back and was like, okay, God, whatever is next is next. And being removed from it now, I can see what he was doing and appreciating what he was doing, but I could only imagine, like, if I would have stepped in and just let self-reliance take over, feeling like I could only imagine what mess I could have created for myself. And so I think that no difficulty that I've ever gone through for the Lord, whatever, I don't know, me thinking about if I was to do it my way, that feels worse. Being self-reliant and letting the enemy win feels way worse than whatever suffering that is imposed by the Lord feels. So I'm glad that you touched on that, because it's so real and we have to talk about these things. We have to.
Yeah. I wanted to, Luke 9, 21 through 27, bookmarked it on October 15th. Like, I literally have the tab here, and that's the one where it says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will save it. On this particular day, on October 15th, I was having a particularly tough day. And just my yes, right? And there's been a lot of tough days since 2023. It is getting better. But like when we came out of our wedding in February 2024, I was depressed to the point that I was physically ill. To the point that my husband, I will never forget this. He was sitting on, there was like a little chair in our room in our old apartment. And he was sitting there looking at me and he's like, do I need to call your mom? Like, he's like, I don't know what to do. What's wrong? What's going on with you? I mean, we're newlyweds, but he's like, child, if you got to go back to like return to sender, you know what I'm saying? So we can like get you help or like what? Return like, I don't sender. Know what to do. So, you know, I was like, no, I'm fine. But like, I started having like really bad stomach issues, headaches, body pain. Like it was horrible. 2024 was just terrible. So I was very, very depressed. I was angry with the Lord for a long time. Yeah. That was something that I had to unpack in therapy and in spiritual direction. Thankfully I was, you know, in seminary at the time. So the Lord, you know, they provided it. But I had to unpack that because it was the first time in my life that I had ever really been angry at God. Like, there were times where I was just like frustrated, but I had never experienced anything like I was legit angry with the Lord. I felt unseen. I felt unheard. I felt played. I felt just very angry at the suffering that we were going through. I mean, it got to the point where like literally, me and my husband could only afford to eat like chicken and rice every day. And this went on for a long time. Eggs and bread for breakfast. That went on for a long time, for many months. And it was such a manna season. I remember like we literally would only have enough for each day. I had never experienced anything like that in my life. And neither had he, right? Like this was something, you know, that was foreign to both of us, right? But like, you know, here you like prepay for like electricity and certain things. A lot of things are like prepaid phone service, stuff like that. So I remember like the Lord would literally just give us enough to like for the day. You know what I'm saying? Like we would only have enough electricity for the day. I remember when it started getting better and like we would have like electricity for a couple days and stuff like that. But these are like, it was just such a rough time. And even now, you know, things have gotten better. I remember when the Lord literally told me and like had me change my language and like renamed our season from a manna season, a real man. I had never experienced anything like that before in my life. A true manna season to a season of recovery and restoration is what he told me. But it was very steady. It wasn't swift. It was very steady. And, you know, things slowly but surely started to get better. We still were taking a lot of hits, a lot of struggles. But, you know, after a year of being in this space from the end of 23 to the end of 24, the Lord was slowly but surely starting to restore. The Lord had told me in 23 to make ministry the main thing. He still has not released me to go back to work in the way that I was working before. And sometimes that is frustrating. Yeah. It is. It's very frustrating because I miss working. I do. There's a part of it that I miss. I miss, you know, like I loved what I did. And this is, you know, when the Bible says, like, can you give up everything that you love? Can you give up everything? Can you walk away from everything? I literally have walked away from everything that I have known, family, friends, the comforts of living in the United States. We had electricity out earlier today when I messaged you and was like, hey, girl, don't know if we're going to be able to do the episode because the lights are out. But like just the comfort of, you know, living in the States access to being able to work. I can't even work here legally because you need a work permit, right? I don't have a job here, so I can't get a work permit. Like, you have to be sponsored for a work permit the same way that you do in the States, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, just it's not like I can just run out and do like little odd jobs. Like, the gig economy is the economy here, but also we don't have a car here, right? Mind you, I walked away from my dream car. I gave that up, right? So there were all of these things, like when we talk about like the cost of following the Lord and why there was this confusion and this anger and this pain and all of this like struggle with it in the beginning, it's because it cost me everything. Yeah. So like to see what the Lord is doing now, and this is still not the fullness of it, and I'm not settling for anything less than the fullness of what I know that the Lord can do. Mm-hmm. But to see where we are now, you know, I bless the Lord for it. I am still confident and hopeful in the fullness of the testimony that he will bring. But the cost of following the Lord, and when you say like, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, whenever, wherever, be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful. And I'm not saying be careful as in don't do it. I'm saying be careful as in make sure that you are ready. Ask the Lord for the maturity, the wisdom, the obedience, the discipline, for the whatever, the whenever, wherever. But yeah, on that day, on October 15th, I was just having a particularly tough day. And it's funny, when you say something that you said earlier about like giving up everything, I literally put this sticky note, and this is based on a scripture when you study Luke 18, 29 through 30, but I literally have this sticky note hanging on my desk. I didn't even put it on our prayer wall because I need it right here where I can see it all day, every day. But it starts off with, because I gave up everything to follow God and prioritize my marriage without selfish hope of recompense or reward, there will be real true happiness in this world. And there's more that's in there. But for anybody that's kind of like who, and I mean everything, y'all, there have been times in my life where I thought I gave up everything. Like, I mean, my health diminished. My mental and emotional wellness was under attack. My spiritual life was under attack. Finances, my career. I walked away from a multi-six-figure business. You know, my education. I had to stop school for now because there was a bill that came about that I couldn't afford to pay. Like when I say everything,
Yeah, I
mean everything. But even through all of it, I am still a proponent of being completely dependent on the Lord. I could not imagine having gone through the past nearly 2 years or over 2 years now without the Lord, without having followed him, without his support, his strength, his grace, and all of those things. But I want people to, you know, you got to count up the cost. You got to count up the cost. It's costly. I remember in December of 2024, I was ministering at an event with Raven. I was ministering at an event and I was talking about the cost. Like the Lord has had me talking about that a lot because it's cost a lot. And I literally said, I was like, it costs a lot, but it's not too much. Mm. It costs a lot. But it is not too much, you know, to pay to be totally dependent on the Lord in business and ministry and life and where you live and who you marry and, you know, just all of the things, right? It costs a lot, but it doesn't cost too much. So that's what I got.
That's so good. And I'm looking at the time and I'm so mad because we're going to have to do this again. So much more that we have to talk about. So I'll let this be the part one. And then we're going to have to definitely, because I have questions about, I mean, we still have to talk about relationships. Because I remember the the breakup. So we definitely got to talk about that.
Yes.
But to end this one, because as you're saying this, I'm like, man, I'm thinking about the prayer-thon. And I'm like, even in the midst of all of this, still showing up. But y'all, Tiffany, I'll let you talk about the prayer-thon and why you started it. But before we even partnered together on this, it was you. For 12 plus hours. Going in. Nobody knows what you're fighting and what you're dealing with. You're showing up and being obedient. Like, I have so much I want to say, but I'm going to be quiet. Tell people about the prayer-thon. Of course, we want to invite you to come this year, but like, I want them to hear the heart behind it. And I think saying it now after telling your story would be the perfect place.
So the prayer-thon was birthed. We did the first one in December of 2023. So I had literally, the crazy part is I hadn't even lost everything yet, but I had already started giving up a lot. If anybody goes back and watches the replay, I'm in a hotel room. And that was a hotel room that my parents paid for, that my mom paid for, so that I could just, you know, have like the peace and quiet and stuff to do it without interruption. But she paid for it. I mean, when I went back to my parents at the time, you know, and talking about business and stuff like that, I humbled myself and I went and got like a seasonal job working at Ross, the clothing store. Making like $14 an hour from making six figures. And this was literally in a matter of months. It was a violent, violent like descent. And I remember that in the midst of this in September of 2023, again, everything is unraveling and the Lord is like, I want you to really start to build a community for Mornings with God. We had just been like a ministry, but didn't have a community component. So, you know, I started doing that and I'm following the instruction of the Lord. I moved back home. I'm, doing gig work, couple little contracts. I finally, you know, go and get the job with Ross. I'm working overtime, crazy hours. They wanted me to be a store manager, which I mean, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I've humbled myself tremendously. And I actually loved that job. I loved the people that I worked with and I loved the work that I did. So it was a good time, but I humbled myself completely to everything that the Lord had me doing in that season. And somewhere in December, the Lord was like, I want you to do a prayer event on New Year's Eve. And I'm like, but people go to church on New Year's Eve. And the Lord was like, not everybody goes to church. Everybody don't have a church home. It's not safe for some people, so forth and so on. So he explained it to me and I whipped that thing together quick. I called all my friends and was like, you know, can y'all help me, you know, pray? Like I was willing to do it, but I'm like, Lord, I need backup. I need support, right? So we did it. And it was blessed. And I think we were on there. It was over 8 hours, somewhere between 8 to 12 hours that we were on there. And, you know, we prayed into the new year. And I remember, you know, laying down in my bed after the event was over and watching, you know, my church service and stuff like that. And I wept. I was supposed to go to work the next day, but I ended up having to call out because I was exhausted and I wept. And I'm like, God, like 2024. Has got to be better. Like, what is happening right now? The number of times that I've asked the Lord, I just asked God this a couple weeks ago. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what is happening? I still don't fully see it yet. But in any event, I laid down and I told the Lord that, and the prayer-thon was blessed and the people were blessed and things went really well and all of these different things. And then 2024 was terrible. It was terrible. But I continued. The Lord had given an instruction on January 1st was a Monday, I think, that year or something like that. And so I had a broadcast to do, my Mornings with God broadcast. And in that broadcast, the Lord said, I want you to keep the fire burning and you're going to pray every day for a year, because I had fallen out of like the habit of praying. And I was like, okay, that's insane. But on February 1st of that year, we started a 365 prayer movement. So now we get to December 2024. We're toward the end of the 365 of prayer, but now we're doing, you know, Prayerthon 2024. We partnered together for the first time because the Lord was like, I want you to go bigger. And I was like, I need help, like even more help. And Blessed and Bossed Up came alongside of me and, you know, supported and helped. And we had hundreds of people register all around the world. Again, great impact, lives changed. I mean, people were like, can you do this multiple times a year? And I was like, no, we cannot.
Right.
No, we will not. So that was that. And literally, like, speakers wanted to come back. Even this year, when we sent out invitations, somebody reached out to me. It was like, I saw you posted about Prayerthon. Have the invitations been sent out for speakers yet? And I was like, yeah, but we haven't done all of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we still got more spots or whatever. Because basically, they was like, where's my invitation? But the heart behind this is to close out 1 year and go into another year with the only thing that sustained me, and that was God. The only thing that has kept me, and that has been communication with the Lord, even when all I could pray was, Jesus, help me. And to really impact people globally, to unite with people around the world, to hear the stories and testimonies of people around the world, and to, you know, just really be in the presence of the Lord, to learn, to pray, just all of the things like the Lord has done and is doing great things in this event. So my prayer is that everyone who is listening will consider joining us. Even if it's for an hour, you can stay for an hour, or you can stay all day or as long as you can. But that's my prayers, that, you know, that you all would consider joining us on December 31st. We're starting early this year. This year, our prayerthon is scheduled for about 18 to 20 hours. By next year, I'm sure it'll be a full 24-hour prayerthon. But yeah, I pray that you all join us on the 31st and, you know, just let the Lord move in that way. But yep, that's where it came from.
I'm telling y'all, if you come for an hour, be prepared to stay.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because I remember that first year I was speaking and I was thinking like, I'm going to come on a little bit before, I'm going to stay a little bit. And I had plans and I was mad. I'm like, dang, why did I schedule something?
Why did I schedule anything?
I'm in the car driving to my destination. I'm mad. Like, I'm really going to have to log off of this thing. This is too good. But it was just, I mean, it's a blessing to be a part of it, to see so many people, men, women from all different countries. Like, and even doing this with you, for me, is a masterclass of what it looks like to have a global ministry. Because we're talking about ways for people in other countries to give that I never even thought about, and the currencies and all of these things. I'm like, man, I never even considered any of this, you know, by primarily operating in the U.S. or at least based in the U.S. So to see people globally be impacted, to be able to partner with this, like to be able to partner with you on this, I take it as an honor. And I'm excited. I think that this year is going to be special. I genuinely believe that the Lord is going to blow your mind specifically. And I can't wait to celebrate with you. So y'all that are listening, please come. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be amazing. Yeah, Tiff, so as soon as I finish recording, we got to schedule something else because we have
more. We do. I'm looking at this registration real quick. We've literally had 50 people register. I'm sorry, let me get the number right. We have had 46 people register in the past 5 hours for this event. Y'all need to register. 46 people in 5 hours.
It's going to be so good. And this episode ain't even came out yet. So
listen, so by the time y'all hear this episode, I don't know where we're going to be, but make sure y'all are in the building.
Yes. Well, thank you, Tiff, so much for joining. definitely be back soon. Thank you guys so much for listening. The link to register will be in the show notes. That wraps up another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and we will talk in the next one.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.